He's a chain breaker.
And to share in this great meeting, I obviously relate so strongly to the word of the Lord, particularly Paul, where he said, "You have not many fathers." He said, "There is one that has begotten you," and the Bible said, "We're begotten by the word of the Lord," and the preacher, pastor, is called the father of the church through that particular strain of the bloodline, because we are truly birthed into our future by the word of the Lord day by day. And so there could be no greater honor to a pastor than the word of the Lord. I rejoice that the children of truth walk uprightly in the truths of God. And so today, a thrill to those of you who are growing, and a thrill to those of you who have plans to grow. God bless you, and I'm honored again to be the pastor of one of the greatest churches in America. Let's thank God today for the opportunity to fill that particular realm of life. Father, we are most grateful today that your word, the seed that provides our future, was generated years ago, knowing the progressive steps that would need to be taken to become identified with you in every part of life. I thank you today for the love of God that's shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. I thank you by the word by which we are begotten. And I pray today that your children on this earth continue to grow to be exactly like you. In Christ's name, amen. There are some statements that almost sound negative or confrontational, but they are never meant to be that way. They are meant to be enlightening. Light on a new path always shows where we are. And we need to know where we are so we can know where to go. If we do not locate ourselves on the map of God's divine will, we will never arrive at the place of God's divine purpose for our personal life. And so it is, he said, "My people are gone into captivity because of a lack of knowledge." That particular lack of knowledge has nothing to do with the one aspect, it has everything to do with the overall purpose of your being born. And so we never stop growing. Anybody that stops growing, here's what the Lord says. And again, this sounds a little confrontational, but it was never intended to be that way. It was intended to be an enlightenment. He said, "He that putteth his hand to the plow," or the begins to do the things of God and turns back from that, or just quits pursuing God, he said, he's not fit for the kingdom. In other words, all the kingdom riches will never be a his in his life. And so it is that we, with those kind of statements, understand, looking unto Jesus, the author. And somebody say, and the finisher. It's not enough to start the race. The Bible said, don't begin the race if you're not going to finish it. Because then you're twice as miserable, because you have tasted of the heavenly gift and you haven't never become complete in that. So it's not so important that you're perfect today, but it is important that you are trying to become perfect. And that's why we pray the Lord's Prayer. Not my will, but thine be done. And I encourage you, if you're not praying the Lord's will and the Lord's promises, pray those things. Don't just pray at random. Pray purposeful prayers. And you will see powerful answers. Because he answers according to his word. And his word is yea and amen. So, let's move as rapidly as we can. And, of course, obviously, anytime we're having a future... would somebody look over here on the little stand and see Brother Brian, new daddy on the block? If my little clicker's over there, I misplaced it somewhere. And awesome, a great young daddy. I had supper with him last night, and his kid smiled at me. Made me think he knew who I really was. I applaud you today because this is a happy Father's Day. You couldn't have got here without one. I wanted to look up some cute quips about kids and their fathers and things like that, and the one that just came to my mind was this young boy who his dad told him, said, "Son, I'm going to have to spank you because you've misbehaved. But," he said, "I want you to know in the process of this, it's going to hurt me worse than it hurts you." And the little boy looked up to his dad with pleading eyes and said, "Well, Dad, no need in both of us suffering." I can assure you today that your heavenly Father hurts when you're hurting. And there's no needing everybody suffering. So as we obey him and follow him, we are healed and he doesn't have to chastise us. But I do remind you, he only chastises whom he loves. Straight out of the book. And that's good preaching. I know none of you ran the aisles on that, but it's as good as it gets. So happy Father's Day to you. You wouldn't be here except for him. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and would somebody quote the next part? Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now watch this. Of the increase of the everlasting Father, his government and peace, there shall be no end. I wish you'd just sort of say it to yourself more than say it out loud, but let me just say it like this. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Meaning, he knows exactly where you are today, and he has the government capability of getting you out of any prison. Be it sickness, be it guilt, be it lack of knowledge, be it a personal lack of confidence in yourself, his government will relieve you of any undue stressful setting. The only thing he cannot do and will not do is make you serve him. Outside of that, there's not anything. All you got to do is parade through the powers of his word, sense and see that he got people out of every jeopardy or situation that they got themselves into. So if you've gotten yourself into anything, or somebody has enticed you to get yourself into anything, let me be very open with you. Your everlasting Father, beginning to end, Father. Situation to situation, Father, is on your side. And there's no need in both of you suffering, because he's hurting if you're hurting. Could we pray again, Father? Our purpose in being here is to find our place in life. Our purpose in being here is to find a place where your word helps us to identify with where we are and where we can be. And so today, for this crowd of people who are hungry, who want to be free from the misery of frustrations and confusions and pitifulness, I pray you put your arm around them individually. In Jesus' name, amen. The increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. So the zeal of the Lord of hosts, somebody say, will perform this. There is no doubt. The remaining prophecies he will fulfill. Just as my wife talked about the prophecies that have already been accomplished, and many of those that we have read about in the Bible that were accomplished, both the execution of judgment upon the evil and the freedom of the power of God on the righteous. We see from the lion's den to the fiery furnace to Daniel's kingdom when Belshazzar had the execution of judgment upon him. This day, thy kingdom is divided. And it's history for you, mister. So we see the power of God. The book says something like this: the heavens declare his glory. I don't care what kind of storm he sends, his glory is both in the storm and in the peace that comes behind it. Storms have a way of settling themselves down. They don't do it on their own. The breath of God, he said, performs all of that. So it is today that if the heavens declare his glory, and they only have the privilege of obeying his distinctive breath, we have the privilege of choice. There's not one of us today that can't determine, I'm making an adjustment to my thinking. I'm making an adjustment to my future. I am making an adjustment. I'm getting rid of my history. He said, call on the day of the Lord. Call on the Lord in the day of trouble, and I will hear thee. Turn from your ways, and I will receive you. I'm telling you, you couldn't sit in a better place than the house of God. There will be no meal served in this city that will do for you and your future, your strength and your healing, what's happening in this place right now. I think we ought to praise him just for the chance of something great happening to us, our kids, and our mate. Just as sure as the sun comes up and sets, as it has, every prophecy that you read in that Bible will come to pass. Now let's look here. There are multiple names given to God. Now, I want to go back to this because so many people try to make God's kingdom as a physical thing. Now, what spirit do you suppose drove that action? Have no doubt about it. Typically, all of you know that that was an illustration, so you're not going to accuse Pastor of having a hate spirit. And I appreciate that. But we also know that the only exhibition of the invisible world is shown by how we treat each other and what we say about and to one another. So God is a spirit. He is an invisible God, and He has no real way to exhibit His power except through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because God is a spirit, He's an invisible God, and the only way He can display all of His powers was to birth a son in which He would live and distribute His wealth in the invisible world to a world that lived in that visible life. So His word is a visible construction of part of His mind. And it introduces, He says this about His word, "The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are truth." In other words, the encapsulation, the thing that formed the word, is the spirit of truth. So when you receive the word and begin to do the word, the power of the word is displayed. That's why I said, "They that be willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land." And that's why I try to tell all of us not to be against anybody, but to reveal these people that say that since Jesus Christ came to this earth and shared His grace, we're just covered by His grace and there's really not anything you have to do. Well, my simple answers, plural, to that is, first of all, He had a chance to shed His blood at 2 when they wanted to kill Him. They tried to kill Him. Why did they not? Because 30-something years later, he did let them kill Him. Hello? If it was only about the blood, He had a chance to lose His blood, because it was just as pure at 2 as it was at 33. The truth is, He had not yet completed going through the cycle of humanity. Birth, junior living, midlife, and then entering into the rest of life, He chose to let His body die, because by then He had illustrated or exhibited all that man would need to arrive at His intended future. I wish we'd praise Him a little for that exhibition. Thank you, Father. There has to be no doubt in us. Now, the way the enemy has created the problem, he has created illusions by carnal minds who want to make the Word of God fit the economy of earth. Twist scriptures just enough. And that's why you hear all these people that read the Word of God and they say, "Oh, I'll tell you, that just frustrates me." You're not going to know the truth till you practice it. You'll never know the beauty of forgiveness until you repent. You'll never know the joy of the power of the Holy Spirit until you receive the Spirit. And it is true that a lot of people have received the Spirit of truth and they have received the Holy Ghost. They have talked in tongues and then they went out to act dumb. But that doesn't make everybody illiterate spiritually or pitiful spiritually, because I've seen people that consistently do wrong and people still wear their cologne. Wear their designer clothing. And just a simple word about designer clothing. As I was growing up and I had all these weird virtuous ideas that I would never wear designer clothing, and all these people that were buying designer clothing, I was going to preach against them. And one day me and the Lord had a little talk about it. And he said, well, if that's the way you feel, don't you ever buy a Maytag dryer. Because that's name brand. Don't buy a Ford. Go find you some weird foreign piece of equipment and go buy that. But I will just preach against the lust that wants to identify with a person that lives ungodly. Why would any mother or dad want to dress or go to any place that would cause kids to be tempted to become less than pure in the Holy Ghost? So much for that. That lesson's coming up. God is everyday language. He is the source. I wish somebody say, God is the source. To call him Father, there is no mother, I don't care how feminine she is, if there is not a source, she's not going to have a baby. Ladies and gentlemen, there's got to be a source for life. There's got to be a source for future. And God is an ever-present help or an ever-present source for whatever needs to be birthed in you mentally, spiritually, or physically so that you can be an overcomer and leap over a troop and jump over a wall and overcome the little complications that are trying to cause you to get tired of living and worn out with life. He is an everlasting Father. Here's one of his names. Jehovah Yireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to understand that. You don't have to understand how egg turns into your necessary strength for your body. Matter of fact, is there anybody that could give us and facilitate our minds with the process of how an egg goes into your tummy and turns into energy for your brain, which turns out thoughts to hate your neighbor? I've heard people call that. I didn't understand it, Brother Ken. There's none of us that understand how eating a steak causes us. All we do is like eat a steak and we say, I enjoyed it. What's wrong with eating the word and just saying, I enjoyed my time in the fellowship of the Holy Ghost. I enjoyed being in the presence of the Word that is becoming a source for my mind and my body and my spirit to come together in unity, and I will be invincible to all the powers of hell and all the tribulations that enemy would provide for me. I will be an overcomer, and I will leap over a troop and jump over a wall. I am in Christ a new creature. Now, this is a little portion of what it's like to get the Holy Ghost or to be born again. It is not about joining a Pentecostal church. It is about joining your Father, your heavenly Father, who created the sun, moon, and stars, and the genes of that creation, the DNA, if you please, of that creation is in the very Word itself. And as you accept the Word of God and begin to walk in that truth, you have the extreme pleasure and the great luxury of identifying in oneness with the God that began all that. That's big. That'll be on Facebook today, I know. Psalms 23 offers one of the easiest renderings of our great God and Father, offering 17 reasons in this chapter of why you can survive life's extremities. If you missed Wednesday night, I'm sorry the whole thing fell apart. The computer decided to update. But I do have some notes in a PowerPoint. An outline, if some of you want to look over it. We have a great and caring Father. Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like. Somebody say like. Pretty important word there. It don't seem important because we use it all the time. But in that setting, it means everything. Somebody say, like precious faith. A faith like that was designed by the Lord to invite, to govern, and to increase. Like precious faith. A lot of people, because they have faith to start on getting to New York, think that it's going to arrive there if they go to sleep. Now, how many of you have gone to sleep at the wheel ever? How many of you decided to wake up when you heard all those little bumps? You either got off your cell phone or you woke up physically. Either way, waking up is pretty important. So, that like precious faith is a very important thing. Through the righteousness of God. And thankfully, we have His righteousness written on paper. I'm just going to tell you this again. Those of you that have never heard it, Jesus, God, is the only one that could ever write His mind on paper. You know your husband couldn't, because you could hold him accountable. And your wife couldn't, because you could hold her accountable. We like Fords for a while. We like Chevys for a while. We like Packards for some of you that were a little of antiquity. How many of you even remember Packards? We've got several older people here today. You young people ought to be proud that the old folks still show up. It is amazing all the things that have been created. But how many of you notice they pretty much all do the same thing when they're running? We get our taste buds up for things a whole lot of times because of what we call a crowd of people that do it. I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in getting lost in the crowd. I like my personal identity. And I like the personal advantage of knowing God gave me a unique disposition, that I would be something to you, Brother Bristow, that you can't be to yourself. It's called brotherhood. Charlotte, as much as you may like that girl sitting beside you, what's her name? Yeah, I knew you knew it. As much as you like her, you could not relate to her if you did not relate to the problems that she goes through. Because as a sister, you relate to the hurt of a lady that has lost a loved one or has had something uncomfortable happen. And so in the DNA of this heavenly Father, He puts in us this wonderful realization, I'm not the only member of the body. I often need a hand. I often need a thought. I often need a hug. Y'all gonna know more about this someday when you get old. We often need comfort. And so He said, I'm going to build a body called the church. And I'm going to help you to understand the concept. When you're weak, you're made strong by the brotherhood. Because we don't wait on everybody to be perfect. We just stick together. When you do wrong, we're going to lift you up. When he does like an idiot, we're going to be his brains and say, man, have you lost your mind? No, we're not going to play games with this thing called the body of Christ. I don't know. Scott, I prayed for you yesterday. I want you to know it hurts to have a hurting wife. And I know your wife's been hurting. So I didn't just pray for you, I prayed for her. And almost every one of you I pray for every day. Because this is no game with me. We're a body. Blondie, I love your dad. You love that old man? Do you notice he's getting wrinkles? Don't look for the wrinkles. Keep looking for the youth. Because he renews his strength every day and he's got youth. Oh, there's something going on here today. God is letting his blood flow through the body. You know what the blood does? It just amazes me to even think, Sister Dickie, that you can eat food. It goes into your stomach. And then your digestive system begins to shred all those things that you put in there. Even if you happen to let a little bone of a chicken get down there, it'll take that acidic stuff and start twisting and fooling with it until it takes it all apart. And I'm going to get a little bit crude but level ground, okay? Don't you ever worry about getting wrong information as long as you keep the Holy Ghost and a desire for purity alive in your spiritual nature, okay? Your body has three ways of ridding itself against unprofitable food. Let you think about it a minute. You can regurgitate or a couple of other things. But your body has an elimination system, and it determines what's good for you, and it puts it into the blood, carries it to the extremities of your body, and energizes you so you can accomplish life. And your spiritual nature is much like your physical nature. When you receive something that's untrue, the preacher will come and all of a sudden he'll preach truths and you'll realize, you know what? That's a twisted thought over there. Goodbye. You can't work with this system called the truth because that was a deception. I promise you, if you're walking in purity of heart and soul and mind and strength, your spiritual anatomy, if you don't get it, you got a sister, a member of the body that will come over across the aisle and slap you and say, don't behave like that. What do you mean don't behave like that? Well, the Word of God says love your neighbor, and you're acting like you don't even love your brother and sister. And guess what? Your spiritual body helps you to get rid of it. That's why he says in the body of Christ, and that's why you're to labor together and to know one another so that you have the unique privilege of truly being not called a brother, not called a sister, but being a pastor and preaching truths that divide us and get us separated from the world and get us into the rhythmic routine of victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He bought me, he sought me, and he bought me with his redeeming love. Oh, friend, it means something to be a child of God. Don't you ever let that become some routine, redundant statement. I've been born again. No, 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 no. You became a child of the Father. You have become a partner with the Almighty and designed by God is the idea that preaching of the word. And that's why I said, don't you let your television get your attention as the day approaches of the coming of the Lord. Make sure you get to the house of God even more than you ever did. Because I'm telling you, the deceivers and the liars and the cheaters are on TV constantly telling you that those 31 years Jesus lived past 2 years of age when he could have given his life and his blood, they don't mean anything. You better just look up the word do, obey, and obedience before you discount the idea that grace is some little flimsy operation of Jesus, that all you got to do, and I tell people that go to that kind of thinking. They say, Pastor, let me tell you something. The grace of God covers it all. I said, you're right. As long as you obey the word of God. No, Pastor, you don't have to do anything. I said, okay then. Don't go to church. Because if grace covers it all, it's covered. Don't worry about it. Cuss all you want to. Kill all the people you want to. Whatever you do, grace covers it all. Well, no, you got to believe. No works. What do you mean believe? What do you mean shake the preacher's hand? What do you mean sign a confessional card? You don't join churches by grace, by that kind of flimsy, weak grace. Grace is a teacher. Listen to the scripture. The grace of God hath appeared unto all men. And then he identifies it, teaching them. How many of you went to school, made straight A's by just sitting there, sitting in a stupor, listening to your teacher, and saying, great teacher, love you. You don't learn anything that way, and you don't graduate that way. It's almost idiotic. We got a school teacher back there in the back. Brother Steve, if they don't do their homework, what happens? If they don't do their tests right, what happens? That's right. And Jesus said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that have come your way, because I'm going to be greater than that. And if you hold my hand and walk with me, somebody say, walk with me, you're going to overcome every deficit. You're going to overcome every weak thing. And a grace is going to teach you how to live, how to walk up and down steps without tripping over yourself. Grace is a teacher. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and grace taught him how to build a ship to save 8 people. 8 or 1 million. It's grace that teaches us. So don't get messed up and tell people we don't believe you're saved by grace. We believe of all people you're saved by grace, because grace is a teacher. How many of you have ever just had some weird thought, I ought to go to church? Raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you too bad. Oh, great, great. Look here. So, grace. Somebody say the eyes of the Lord. Read your book. 7 eyes. He has 7 eyes. Greater than your cell phone is the eyes of the Lord that roves to and fro over the face of the whole earth, looking for a place to show himself strong. Well, guess what happened? God's eyes pick up that. And God sends grace over. He says, man, you ought to go to church. Well, all of a sudden you say, well, you know, I've heard of that, but you know, there's a bunch of hypocrites there. God says, you don't have to be one of them. Come, follow me, and I will. What? The word make there, you got to understand the word make. How many of you made a cake this past year? I'm not going to get you on the spot. I didn't get part of it, so I'm not going to get you in a mat. How many of you made a cake? How many of you, the moment you thought of making that cake, it became a cake? No. All you had was a vision to start off with. Then you had to get some stuff. So the word make is a process. Okay, I will make you over again. I will put you in my process. So grace brings you to an altar and says, look, son, I'm going to tell you how to do this. You repent of all of your past. You turn against all the wicked ways that you have lived life. Wickedness is not always something nasty looking to the naked eye. Wickedness is just anything that separates you from the mercies of God, the powers of God, the glories of God, of your intended purpose of living. And that is wickedness, when you deviate anyway from the destiny. Am I making sense yet? Somebody say, I will put you in my process. I will, that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When you get truth in your life, truth begins to work in your life until you repent, until you rise to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and then your guilty conscience is free because you have obeyed truth, and now you're starting to walk a new life, and then you receive the Holy Ghost. And I just love this part. And you speak in a heavenly language. Wow. And somebody said, I just can't believe it. I just can't do that talking in tongues. But they can cuss all day long. Hello? Cussing comes from that spirit, that source of the enemy, which wants to damn anybody that begins to hurt your little dainty feelings. I'm telling you, we got to get together in this day. We're going to walk uprightly. We're going to help show our young men. We're going to help show our young ladies. Jesus didn't come to form a bunch of clubs. He came to form life in you, sir, and in you, sir, and in you, mama. And he came to give you life that's more abundant. And you are going to be able to overcome everything. You're going to actually be able to swing a golf club. Many of you know he likes golfing. I went with him a couple of times. I decided to find somebody else to go with. I'm going to make you. I'm going to put you in a local city, and you're going to be a part. You're going to be a local part of a city that don't know how to treat a wife, in case you ever get one. Now, he don't want your hand. He don't need anything. What? Man, you don't understand. He's following Jesus, the one who understands marriage. You better get you a hand in somebody. Oh, you married men ought to be saying amen unless you're scared. You need assistance in helping these wonderful ladies. You need assistance mentally, spiritually, because I'll tell you what ladies are going to do. They're going to lean on you, and sometimes they don't warn you that they're coming to lean. And you feel like they're trying to drive you out of your little leadership position. He's starting to get something in him right now. There's a spirit rising up. That's what I'm looking for. Hey, I'm not going to let you fall, sweetheart. You lean on me all you want to, because I'm telling you, underneath me are the everlasting arms, and I'm not going to fall, and you're not going to fall, and our kids are going to have a level of security, because the home is not breaking up. We are finding Jesus, the anchor of the soul, both steadfast and sure. Have y'all got it yet? And so now he's married, and now he's got 20 kids. How many of you know that dispositions differ in people? I'm not going to preach all day. Don't worry. You can help me. I got Father's Day lunch waiting. I'm trying to tell you that many are the afflictions of the righteous. He doesn't just put that in there so that
No. Just take it all as long as you want to, or you can get rid of it. In the name of Jesus. We're about to get that spirit out of him. Pulling that hair on his chest is something else. I don't know when you're going to get tired of the devil picking on your home, picking on your brain, pestering you until you feel guilty and all that other junk. Get behind me, Satan. I come in the name of Jesus. I come in the power of the blood. I come in the glory of a resurrected Messiah. I am in my Father's house. We don't just sing that song, Leaning on Jesus. Do it, because you can take, oh, I'm not sure exactly how this thing's built, but how many of you understand I'm not on my own? I'm leaning on Jesus. I don't come to you in the name of Bob Meyer. I don't come by the wisdom of man. I am coming to you today with the wisdom of the freeing power of Jesus Christ. Hell cannot compete unless you tolerate hell to compete. According as his divine power, somebody say, hath given unto us. I want you to say it loud and clear, that bold face, all things. All things. All things. All things. I want you to say it till you believe it. All things. He hath given our heavenly Father, withholds no good thing from them that call on him. Here's the problem. We want a dollar, and he offers us a quarter. And we slap it away. If you're not going to give me everything I want right now, I don't want anything. We don't understand. Hidden in the rest of his hand is another quarter. Somebody say line upon line, precept upon precept. Somebody say here a little, there a little. And guess what? He has hidden things so that when you go through this little trial, you get a quarter. And you go through that little trial and you get a quarter. And you go through that little trial and you get a dime. And you start shouting. Because I'm almost there. He's breaking open the wisdom of heaven. A little here and a little there. Line upon line, precept upon precept. So don't think it strange, son, concerning the fiery trials you're going through. For your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of. And he is going to supply to you all of your need according to his riches in glory. And I'm going to tell you, if he runs out of change, he'll do what the lady said this morning. He'll give you more than you asked for. And all of a sudden, you're going to be running the aisles. And you're going to say, hey, folks, this is better than getting intoxicated with liquor. This is better than taking some kind of weird drug. This is the glory of the Lord that is being manifest in the earth, in this generation. It's more than joining a club. Beside all this, somebody say, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, and to knowledge, and to temperance. And that's where we just roadblock right there. If he was going to give it to me, he should have done it yesterday, because I'm divorcing him today. I've been right there. Well, what's the use in serving him if he don't do it when I want him to do it? You don't understand the scripture. And I'm here to help you with it. You know what, Brother Brian, if you'd help me. Oh, you babysitting? Oh, the helper's behind you. They'll take over. Get up here and do about 50 push-ups, and I'll show them what we're talking about. You don't have to do 50. Fixing to show you a scripture that is so wonderfully powerful. And I was pastoring in Ohio when a missionary came through and preached it to me. And I cannot tell you how much. Hold on. Now, just rest a minute. Stay on your knees, because that's where God can work the best. Somebody say, exercising thyself unto godliness. Nobody can exercise you into your future. Now, watch him again. I want to ask you a question. What if the problem of the floor gives way? And there's really nothing he can push against. Did you run out of steam? No, it's okay. I promise you, folks, I'm not here for entertainment. I am here for one reason. I want to illustrate to you that this Jesus knows how to be a father. And he knows how to help develop in you everything you're going to need to face off with the Antichrist that is rushing at this society like crazy. Now what happens? That's good. Just sort of stay on your knees there. Just, again, that's a wonderful place to live. If the floor gave way. Let me tell you something. Standards in a church, walls that help keep the outside in, also help our kids to exercise against the wall. Why do you do that? I want to be godly. Why are you doing that? I want to be holy. And the first thing you know, you don't even want to get outside the fence. You don't even want to go out there where the seaweeds and all the junk is, where all the lobsters and all the stingrays and all of that. You want to stay in that local area of the environment. And so when you do exercise yourself unto godliness, and that's good, thank you, sir, you build up spiritual muscles that help you to bear one another's burden, which helps you to fight off the enemy forces. It's like taking vitamins for your body when you try to take vitamins to lift up areas of your life. The safest way is just eat right. But our desire is all that greasy food. But I am trying my best to help you be ready for that day. And the trump of God shall sound. And somebody say, time shall be no more. Until that day, you can make any change you need to make. You can exercise. You can eat right. You can get to a church, a place where there's a ministry that's not funding you what you want to eat, chocolate and M&Ms and just this and that. No, no, no. He's feeding you the diet off of heaven's menu that will make you strong. If it's in the Word of God, it's important. We're not crazy. Even the military has a dress code. We're not crazy. Go read the dress code for those people, ladies and men, that work at headquarters in the White House. They have a dress code. Ladies and gentlemen, the church of all places ought to have a dress code. But when people dress a certain way and they look down at their neighbor and say, you sorry, rotten thing, it ruins the dress. When people dress right and act snobby and don't have that brotherly concern, it smells like it is. The Bible calls it a spirit that we don't enjoy talking about. But if you see your brother fallen in some situation, you don't tell somebody, oh, so-and-so looks like he's gill up. No. Same enemy that tries to threaten your mind threatens all of us. And sometimes we stumble, and the Bible says sometimes we stumble. And thank God that there's a restoration plan. Go get your brother up and get him to the house of God where there's preaching that's going to help. Get your kids to a house of God faithfully and regularly where there is sustenance against the wickedness of hell and the powers of darkness. I'm not so much against the TV instrument, but I am watching it totally transform the minds of people into thinking if they keep buying a bunch of new stuff, they're going to finally satisfy this inner something. There's only one thing that's going to satisfy this. That's get rid of the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the pride of life. And I tell you, you are complete in Jesus Christ. And when you get complete, you can stand on your own two feet because He is our Lord. He is our Savior. And He lives, keeps us lifted up right. Standards won't save you, but they can kill you if you don't have them. That's been one of the mistaken identities of people that think if you dress right, you are right. If you don't have a right spirit, dress means nothing. Just hear it straight, okay? If you don't love your neighbor as you love yourself, you can dress and never cuss, and you're still not holy. Holiness is a spirit of completeness. Holiness is a spirit of oneness with the Almighty God. Holiness is to become cleansed from the inside out, and it ought to show eventually because God sent forth His Son and exhibited the powers of the universe in the body. Am I almost through? I got to take an eye test this year to enjoy driving the bus. How do you pass that thing? I went online the other day and got that little eye thing, that they put you in front of out there, and I've been trying to practice memorizing it. Am I doing wrong? Am I cheating? I wish, pray God don't let him ever lose his sensibility. Because I promise you, I'm preaching for you, Brother Jim. I'm preaching for you, Brother Little. I'm preaching for you guys that are new here. We're glad to have all those smiles come through great. I don't know your name, but man, I know that smile. You can't just create that. Sister, what's your name back there in the back in the pink? Geraldine. Oh, yeah, that's you. See? I'm just testing my eyes right now. Somebody say that great shepherd of the sheep. Our Heavenly Father, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect. Somebody say, exercising yourself unto godliness. Prayer chambers are exercising rooms. I'm telling you, it is a shame to watch people go to fitness centers more than they go to the prayer chamber. Exercising yourself unto godliness. Now, God, I have had a hard time doing that. I've had a hard time forgiving those that hate me. I've had a hard time forgiving my enemies. I've had a hard time, and I'm going to exercise. When I come out of this prayer chamber, I want some muscles. And I don't care if I have to go a week. I don't have to go a month. I am going to forgive my kids for what they've done, and they're not going to ruin my life. I'm going to help their lives. I don't care what my family's done. I don't care what my enemies have done. I am in Christ a new creature. I'm going to exercise myself in that prayer chamber. I'm going to get with it. I'm not talking about going into a prayer chamber and saying, God, you got to do this, and God, you got to do it. No. God, build in me the power of the glory of the Almighty risen Savior. Build in me the word of the Lord so that when I walk not as others who have no hope, but inside of me is a glory. Glorious hope. And when I get loud like this, I get to thinking about all those people that make fun of us for getting loud. And then I watch them watch TV and they're sobbing. And then I watch somebody make a home run. Go! And they make fun of us. You know why they make fun of us? Because it's weird to have a power going on in your life that others can't understand. It's weird to me to see somebody drinking and doing drugs when all they got to do is find Calvary. All they got to do is obey the word. And he said, I'll create a river of life inside you. Don't let people mess you up. They like noise. They just like it to fit their economy. I beseech you, brethren, suffer or allow the word of exhortation. I have written unto you a few words. You know what exhort is? Get with it. I watch those football captains on the side of the team, and I envision me as a pastor.
Hey, get your hands up, man. What's wrong with you?
Any of y'all ever watched a football game or a baseball game and the coach is on the outside exhorting?
Man, you didn't tackle the guy. You had him in your hands.
And yet if a preacher preaches like that, I tell you what, I'm changing churches. I don't want nobody to help me get victory. Am I doing good, Scott? I wish you'd tell those people over there. They're having doubts. Stand up and tell them. He's doing good.
He's doing good. You're listening.
I love the fire out of y'all, folks. We going somewhere. You hear me, Sister Valerie? We're not going to sit here on these benches and dry rot. No. We're going to be up and about the master's business. When we go out the door of this church today, the devil's going to have himself a misery because the church is not coming out saying, I went to church. We're going to come out saying, I've been in the presence of the God and I know the power that belongs to the body of Christ. I'm not going to be weak-kneed. I'm not going to surrender. I am going to live in the completeness of the Messiah. Are y'all here to sing? Awesome. That's what I wanted. Thought I saw you and I lost you. Okay. Let's see. Brother Jim, you'll do. Mess your hair up. Over the center aisle right quick. Stay right there for a minute. Let me show you the picture of your heavenly Father. I put the story up there so you can see that I'm in the book. Because this is one of the greatest stories of a father that I've ever seen. And lest I forget it at the end, I want to tell you. He had education for the kid that stayed home and got a bad spirit. And he had education for the kid that went way as far as you can go without dying. The Bible said he almost reach the end in the hog pen. So he had one that stayed in the church house but got a bad spirit. And he had one that left the church house and sure enough got in trouble. So I put the picture up there so you can see what the Father is like. And I'm going to tell you, if you'll study Psalms 23, you will truly understand the shepherd father image that is created there. If you want to really get deep, go and study all the fathers in the Old Testament that successfully helped their kids to achieve victory. And if you want to see the ones that failed, read about them. God didn't hide anything. He put the pictures of success and failure in that book so you could know where you're going to end up. Than to write your mind on paper, because none of us could do that and be sane. He wrote his mind on paper because he never changes. And all the principles for success are in that book. And all the powers of sin and hell are in that book. So, in the story, the Father, every day, is missing his son. And he goes to the front porch and he looks out. Don't you think he don't notice it when you miss eating at the house of God? Don't you think he don't notice your empty spot? Because he has prepared a meal for you for every service. That if you don't need the strength to overcome, I promise you, your kid or your neighbor are needing what's being put on the table at the house of God. The world has gotten us in this psychology that if there's not really something super meaningful. How many of you have noticed when you eat eggs, you don't notice anything super meaningful every morning? Because you know you're going to shrivel up and be like me, skinny. I'm trying my best to find you because I'm telling you, your Heavenly Father stands at the porch pacing every day because he has much wealth and it's lying in place for your future. Every day he went to that porch looking for the prodigal. And one day, somebody say, keep looking. Don't you dare quit looking. You keep looking for those kids. You keep looking for that wife. You keep looking for that husband. You keep looking for that daddy. You keep looking for that mama. And you keep praying, God, help me to stay where I need to stay so there's a place to come back to. Pardon me. Church, could I say it like this? We are the hope. Don't you dare get lazy and trifling and get all fussy about this thing. Keep looking. You get to this altar every Sunday. You get to this altar every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. God, I'm looking for this revival. I'm looking for all this city to get healed. I'm looking for those people that are on drugs to get delivered. I'm looking for the alcoholics to get delivered. I'm looking every day. I'm looking. I'm not giving up. We're not giving up. The church is going to stay healthy. The church is going to keep looking. And we're going to keep a red hot revival spirit. I don't care whosoever will may walk in the door tonight. Whosoever will may walk in the door Wednesday night. We're not going to get dry rotted. You got the picture of the Father. And if the Father's in you, the Spirit of Father is in you, guess what's going to happen? You're not going to give up. And one day he walks to the porch and the son is stumbling and falling. Because he almost lost everything. But he one day had a vision of home. What it would like. Slow down, man. You're getting ahead of me. One day the son, living in the hog pen, in the shame of nakedness, knowing his Heavenly Father had more than he could ever use. But the Heavenly Father don't ever give up. Brother Jeff, are you glad for that? Brother Philip, are you glad for that? Brother Brian, are you glad for that? I wish you three men in unison would say, thank you, Jesus. I am glad for that. I was one of those kids. But he kept looking. He kept seeing where I was. And one day in the hog pen, the son said, you know what? The servants at my daddy's farm live better than I'm living. They're not even heirs. They're not even namesake. And they eat the fat of the land. People that are not ever born again are eating better than some people who are into realms of spiritual power. Don't get messed up. I'm telling you, it's all in that book. But the young boy saw home. He saw the fullness of the Lord. He saw the completeness of the Word. From birth to dying and to resurrection, there's power in the blood. There's power in the name. There's power in the Spirit. I am here to inform us. We've got to keep our kids aware no matter what. And so all of a sudden, here comes stumbling down the aisle. Here comes stumbling down. The church don't sit there and say, make it on your own. No, 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 no. When the church sees somebody, they do what the Father did. We should find somebody beside you to pray for. You have no idea what some of them are going through. You have no idea what some of the friends and loved ones that have hidden some of that stuff. They've been some distance and they need some strength today. You have no idea what that visitor that came here today. Take their hand and pray with them all over this place. This city is going to be changed. Our economy is going to grow in the Holy Spirit. This altar's open for anybody on this Father's Day that would like to renew your relationship or start a relationship. God, I want you. I want you as Lord. I want you as my God. I'm not serving flesh anymore. I'm not serving the things of this world any longer. I am serving you and you alone. You are God. You are my heavenly Father. You can provide financially, spiritually, wisdom, glory, to overcome fear, to overcome jealousy, to overcome envy. It's not about joining a church. It's about becoming a member of the body. With them that rejoice. We suffer with them that suffer.